Welcome to Unstoppable, the conversation designed to fuel your success in real estate with insights from industry leaders and rising stars who embody the unstoppable mindset. Get inspired, take action, and accelerate your growth. Your hosts are joining you now. Back to Unstoppable. We're very excited to have our good friend Andy Reid here this morning, a respected auctioneer, high performance coach, and now author of Success Curious. He's on a mission to help people get serious about their potential. And I have loads of questions for you today, Andy. So welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, team. It's a privilege.
$1 million question.
Sure.
I would love to know how you found the discipline and commitment to actually write the book. When I've heard you speak about it, you are pretty open with the fact that you have ADD and, you know, struggle to sit still for long periods of time. And I can't imagine that writing a book is something you can do on the go with ease.
It was torture, man. Absolute torture. Like, there's no sugarcoating it. It was a pain in the ass. The thing is, when you get into when you've got ADHD, well, there's various bloody ways that it comes up. But for me, like when I get into a flow, then I will be like relentless or unstoppable as per the podcast name, right? And I really would be, right? So, and I'd find the energy, my intrinsic motivation smashes into gear and I'm rocking and rolling till whenever. Getting to that point is so hard. And especially when you consider, I admire, and I totally understand now why authors have writing as a full-time job, because it takes you so long to get to that place of flow when you're writing something. And then it doesn't take very much for it to just go off rails or to get stopped or, you know, for you to go off track, right? It just takes a phone call or one of the kids coming and saying that they're hungry or business stuff or whatever the case may be, right? Because I still needed to put food on the table. So, yeah, countless 2:30 a.m. sort of staring at the screen, questioning my life choices and all those sorts of wonderful things. I've said jokingly, but I'm kind of serious, I'd rather climb a mountain than do that. But now that I've done it, sort of prove to myself that I can put myself through what would be deemed as one of the ultimate challenges for someone with ADHD, right? So I'm lucky in that respect that I managed to get through it.
I can't remember where I read this, but I'm sure I read or heard someone at one point say that every person has at least one book in them and you've got your one out there and it's doing amazingly well. Flying off the airport shelves, sitting above Simon Sinek. I took a photo of that at the airport the other day. And you know, you're now working on a module workbook to go with it.
Mm.
So the first one was the ultimate challenge. You struggled to sit still. You'd rather climb a mountain. You're a sucker for punishment going back to doing the companion book with it.
Oh, look, you know what though? It actually once I'd hit the last full stop on the last edit, and I had a little bit of a release of emotion, you know, the room got dusty, it all of a sudden became clear to me why I exist, right? It was a very profound moment, right? When I finished it off, it was done, it was off to the printer, and it was like a downloading of the first version of me. And what I was left with in my head was all this space. It was like I'd done a spring clean. It felt so fresh to have this sort of moment of clarity that made the actual writing of the workbook really easy, because of the fact that I'd spent 40 something years, like 40 years and 8 months, whatever it was, honestly sort of struggling to define myself. I had an idea, I knew I was helping a bunch of people in a bunch of different ways, but could never really define myself and define my purpose succinctly. And once I'd hit that full stop on that last page, and I put stay safe, stay healthy, stay happy, and signed off on it, it just became very, very clear why I'm here. And that was enough of a gift off the back of that torture without anything that comes from the book. Like, if nothing came from the book, I'd be so happy with having that clarity brought to me as a result of going through that process, which was just the best. And now, so this workbook has just been, that was a doddle, because I'm such a practical guy. I don't like fluff, and I like making stuff feel tangible, right? You know, my whole notion, my whole purpose in life is to make success more accessible, which means making people feel like they can grab hold of it, right? And actually get a grip of it for themselves. And so the workbook coming off the back of the book, it was just a natural process that needed to happen, because what that is going to provide people with is a very clear roadmap that's going to give them not success, but a foundation that they can build success on, which will be so much more solid. It will make any attempt to try and progress their lives actually stick, as opposed to, you know, where you get a fad and you do it for a few weeks and then the novelty wears off. That workbook will give people a set of SMART goals that will be so pertinent to their foundation for success that they will win off the back of it. As a result, I'm confident of that.
Andy, just quietly, it must feel pretty damn good knowing that it's landed and it's a very successful book, and everyone I'm speaking to is definitely coming up to me and saying how much it's changed parts of it that you've shared. They're very in line with what someone else is experiencing. So very vulnerable, to put yourself out there, but at the same time, it must feel pretty damn good.
I did have a little proud moment the other week when it was sat on all the ta on all the tables at the Rise leadership event. That was a little proud moment, I have to say.
You deserve it.
Yeah, it felt it that did that moment did feel really, really good. But for me now, and this is, I don't know if it's the edge, it's just the part of my wiring where it's very much onto the next thing. This is one other thing that this book is, because whenever you achieve something, it kind of comes and goes, right? You win an award or whatever, and it comes and goes real fast, and you're on to the next thing. Because this is stuck in front of me now forever, right? It's almost like it's that new baseline for me, as opposed to going back to going, right, not feeling like I've achieved that much, even though I've achieved the stack. And then, but because it's not tangible, whereas this thing's tangible, it's not running away, it's not leaving my existence now, right? So yeah, man, it's cool. It's funny though, it's like having a baby, right? It's like, I was at the book launch, the amount of people that asked me when the second one's coming, right? As soon as you have the first one, everyone asks when the second one's coming, right? So yeah, but there's enough clippings on the floor from the first one to probably make another one, to be honest.
I'm curious to know what would you do differently now that you've learned all these habits and trends
About writing a book,
the second one?
I'd be a lot more confident in my own language, and I'll be a, it will flow a heck of a lot easier.
Okay.
The first attempt, I remember very, very well, and I'll never forget because it was such a good lesson. I'd written the first chunk of it, and I'd sent it to the publisher, my publisher Leslie, for like to see if I was going in the right direction, and she sent me one sentence back saying, "Andy, dot dot dot, where's all the swearing?" And I
That's
tried to
the
be,
Andy we know.
yeah, exactly. And I was trying to be all Shakespearean and whatnot, you know, trying to sound clever. And I know a few big words, right? You know, despite how I sound, there's a few big words, you know, with at least three syllables that are kicking around in my head. So I was trying to get them all out. And she goes, "But Andy," and I said, "Look, I'm trying to sound clever." And she goes, "Andy, that doesn't suit you." And I thought, well, is that a slap or a tickle? I'm not sure. Or is it both? And I'm not supposed to sound clever. So, but she just goes, "Andy," and this was the really amazing lesson. And if anybody's listening to this and wants to become unstoppable in that respect, this lesson I learned from Leslie was amazing, because she said, "Andy, there are millions of people that know what you know. I have not given you a contract, a deal because of what you know. I've given you a deal because of who you are." Right? Which is amazing. Right? Because she's right. Nothing in that book is brand new, apart from the line of confidence bit, really, right? That's probably the only original concept that's in there. All the rest of it, which I've attributed to whoever it's come from, it's all stuff that everybody knows. And it's kind of helped me guide me. It's kind of helped guide me to understand what I need to broadcast when I'm on stage now, because the what of success has been known since ancient Greece. It's why. And it's the why for each individual as well. And so it's just made me sit back and start to think a little bit more critically about stuff, which is such an amazing thing. But and I think that's probably something that holds so many of us back, and it creates so much of the imposter syndrome that causes so many people problems, is that concern that you're saying something that someone else has already said.
This actually leads me to a question I wanted to ask you, and I think that it's so significant. And when you translate that to the real estate world, authenticity, I feel like it's a bit of the latest buzzword, but it is really significant, right? And so I think that we all learn from various different coaches. We do scripts and dialogue training, with our colleagues, with our principal, with whatever training session we can access online, whatever it might be. And we become almost parrots of each other, right? Nobody's leaning into being their authentic true selves, putting their own spin on it and things like that. And so what you obviously are very authentic. It's very obvious for those that know you and see you on socials and things like that. You are absolutely unashamedly Andy, which I absolutely love about you. But what advice do you have for people, particularly people newer to the industry that don't necessarily have the confidence because they don't have that knowledge yet of what goes on in the marketplace, on leaning into their authenticity, who they truly are? Because at the end of the day, brands, yes, they might all help us get in the door, but people do business with people they like, know, and trust. And you can only get that like, know, trust if you're authentically you. So what advice do you have for people with that?
Right. Well, first things first, you can't get away without knowing stuff, right? You've got to be competent. And so the first thing I'd say to any young agent, or any agent that is having an attack of confidence, right? They could be young, old, big, small, it doesn't matter. If they're having an attack of confidence, then go back to just making sure, give yourself that little bit of a tap on the bum that you do know your stuff. And if you are new to the game, work your ass off to understand everything there is to know, right? And don't be ashamed. And if you're going to talk about authenticity for new people, the authenticity doesn't come from it's not applicable to when you are in front of a client or a potential customer. Being authentic as a new person in the industry comes down to owning what you know and owning what you don't know, and being comfortable in knowing what you don't know, right? And being unashamed in asking the questions that are going to help you get that step closer to being and feeling truly competent, right? That's, for me, is authenticity for a new person coming into the game. It's being able to ask the questions and not feel daft about it. Now, if you are made to feel daft by the leaders that you are asking the questions to, right, or from, then you have a look and see if there's any other mentors out there. There are a billion men. There are so many of us that are kicking around that can give you the answers without making you feel like an idiot. And two leaders, FYI, if you want to actually keep some of your talent, you best be able to hold some space for them, right? Because the only daft questions are one you don't ask, right? And look, having said, I mean, look, for new age, if you ask the same question 5 times, then you're going to test their patience, admittedly. But asking it for the first time and getting it right, and just, making sure you've got it sussed and making sure you got it right around your head, that's authenticity for a new person in the game. All right.
Well, I think, Andy, if I can just jump in, one word that comes to mind with everything you're just saying is bravery.
Yeah. Well, being authentic, part of being authentic is being brave. Right, it's not easy to be who you are 100% of the time. I can tell you that, free and for nothing, like from my own personal experience. And it's interesting because I have this saying that I first said it by accident on a live feed I was doing in 2021, during one of however many lockdowns. And I said that vulnerability is the key to true professionalism. By accident. And when I said it, I had someone tell me that that needs to go on a bumper sticker. And when I thought about it, because I said it on a whim, but when I thought about it, I was like, that's absolutely spot on. Because to own your own vulnerabilities is to be truly professional, right? And I say this to agents, if we're to get a really practical example of this, the true professional sales agent is not the one that fears the passing. It's the one that uses the auction process to the best of its ability and have the plan of attack and be comfortable and confident and in control of the process, irrespective of the outcome. That for me is a true professional because they are owning the vulnerability in the process, right? And the thing is, there's no such thing as a guarantee in life or business or whatever. So accepting that gives you such a greater level of control over your universe, your life, your business, your operation, your skill set, that the rate of acceleration of progress and growth is exponential. I to give you an example of when I was a listing agent, a lot of agents, one of the big things that they fear is being who they are and like being able just allowing themselves to be human. They feel like they have to be like Teflon, right? Like nothing sticks. And when my daughter was born and their mum wanted to go back to work, and I was in a mess mentally, but we didn't realize it at the time, and I was trying to find any reason to get out of the house, but unintentionally, right, but or unconsciously. And she said, right, Andy, every other Wednesday you need to take it off, otherwise the dog's going to be looking after Eliza. And I'm like, right. Okay. So she forced my hand, which I'm really, really grateful that she did. Because by accident, again, I went into a listing presentation one time and I said, look, you can get a hold of me almost any day of the week, any time of the day, right? I struggle to switch off. So that's a good thing for you guys, except for every other Wednesday, because that's my daddy daughter day. And as I'm sure you can appreciate, she's way more important than anyone else. And I just said it. Being naturally me, and I was in a mess at the time, so I was a little bit detached from the result, to be fair. And I remember it so well. It was in Cranbourne North. It was in the Courtney Gardens estate. It was on Josephine Avenue, and both of the man and the woman, the husband and wife, both sat back in their chair, their shoulders dropped, and they were like, "Ah, this guy's real."
A real person sat in front of me, not a cookie cutter that's just gone and done all of, whatever training
No, and all of a
and conference we've
sudden,
just had.
and all of a sudden, I became relatable, right? Because they had a couple of kids and whatnot, and it got to the stage where, and I used to say that all the time after that moment, and they all and like owners, not that you'd want this now, but owners would call me and apologize for calling me because of the fact that they just in case I was with my kid or I was being a human being or whatever, right? Not that you'd want them to fear calling you, but it was the fact that they respected my space. And they respected my time and they respected who I was.
And that's really interesting in an era when having immediate access to people. I've got people that if they call and I might be in a meeting like now, for example, and they'll call me back in 10 minutes if I haven't had the chance to call them back. So the fact that they're calling to even apologize for calling you in the first place is remarkable. You coach a lot of the industry and you have great success with agents that are looking to go to the next level. But particularly those that are maybe newer, might have only been in for a couple of years, but tracking really well. What have you noticed that those people all have in common?
They're not afraid to learn. They're not afraid to learn. And they never feel that they've learned enough. They're the best ones, right? They never feel that they've learned enough. The common trait amongst all of them, irrespective of whether they are 100K GCI writers or a 1.1 million GCI writer, all of them have an attitude for learning and a appetite for learning, right? And this is partly to do with delivery as well, admittedly. They take constructives and positives in the same, in the same, with the same energy, right? So they don't let their ego put a wall, put a barrier up, right? And go, and they don't let their ego get in the way of progress. And so that's where it's obviously easier for, well, I say it's actually not actually, no, because I've dealt with a couple of some 300K writers recently that appear to think that the world is at their feet, sort of thing. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Good for you. But yeah, but it's that thirst for forever learning, because we're none of us are going to be the finished article. I say this, and you guys have heard me say this at the start of whichever session. I know, if anyone has a problem with anything that I say, I've got no ego to get concerned about if you want to challenge it. Because there's 8 billion people on the planet. And like, no one's got the textbook for every single one. It's just increasing probability. And one thing that I've started saying recently, which I wish I put in the book and I didn't, which annoys me. Next one, was that perspective gives you power, and the more perspectives that you can understand, the greater power you have to control your universe.
I think I need to write that down. I think that's the new catchphrase. Perspective gives you power.
Love
I
that.
bloody love that.
I wish
Andy,
written
I
for the
just
book.
there's two things that come to mind that I really want to know. What's one myth about our industry that you wish you could just disappear?
It's the misconception that if you know what to say, then you should win business.
It's as simple as that, right?
A little bit, because and it's not the and it's not the front line's fault. It is the way that it's being broadcast by us leader, and I'm going to stick myself in that basket, right? Because I'm in that basket, so I've got to take ownership of it. But back to, so going back to your point, the thing that you were asked that you were saying, Jack, before. The biggest challenge that the industry has is the fact that when it comes to the knowledge only gets you so far, right? The knowing what to do is the Achilles, or just knowing what to do is the Achilles heel of the industry. And that's the way that it's broadcast, right? Do this script, say this thing. If you're in this situation, this is what you say. Right. And the reason why so many trainers, coaches, and whatnot make squillions of dollars and whatnot out of the industry is because I don't see any of them explaining why it works or why it's important or why it's pertinent to that time. And it's like anything, like what I said before, understanding what to do in order to be successful, there's nothing new there. It's been around for millennia, right? Understanding why is the gap between someone knowing what to do and then being able to apply it, and those that just try and regurgitate what to do and then get really shitty at the fact that the industry's not getting any better for them.
Biggest change that's coming in our industry.
Biggest change.
What does that look like that you can see?
I'm not going to say AI.
Oh, thank God for that.
I'm not going to say AI. Because, and the reason why I'm not going to say AI is because AI is a fabulous thing. I think it's wonderful. I do. And I think it's going to progress the world. And I think if the right people can apply it in the right way, then the world can get better really quickly. All right. And I'm very cup half full on that. It still comes down to the driver, not the car. Right. It still comes down to the people, not the machine. And I think the biggest thing that, because it will swallow up a bunch of people in the industry. It will take out a whole stack of people in the industry. But what I really, really love about AI and all the tech and all that sort of stuff is that it's forcing us to become more human. Like, it's making it inexcusable now, right? Because it's so easily accessible, right? The what of stuff is super easy. It's easier than it's ever been. Anybody can execute what, right? It just then comes back to the why, which is where the top people, where the actual professionals in the game of real estate play. They play in the why. They don't play in the what. They're the ones that are going to stay around, and you're going to see it very, very clearly. You know, I said this in, and you can sort of relate it to the landscape in Melbourne. I sort of called it a year or so ago, where I said it's going to be the rise of the super office, where you're going to get big, big offices, right? And then a whole bunch of little independent jobs that are going to be feeding off the scraps, and then a big chasm in between the two, right? I think. And part of that is down to the fact that the ones that are in these super, that run these super offices are the ones that play in the Y.
I tend to agree with you, actually. I still can't stop thinking about this perspective gives you power, and I feel like that's a whole other podcast. And my mind is just turning it; my brain's going crazy with all of these thoughts around it. But and it's all so easy, of course, to sit here and just off, you know, tell everybody just go get a bit of perspective. It's quite another thing to actually go and do it. Do you have just one tip you would give people on how to get a bit better at perspective?
Bite your first reaction.
Oh,
love that.
interesting.
Pump the brakes on your first reaction. Now, I'm very much a believer that a mistake that has been brought about through a decision from the gut gives you a lesson. A mistake brought about from a decision from your head gives you regret, right? So I'm very much a believer in that. If you make a mistake through your gut, through a gut instinct play, you'll get a lesson. If you make a mistake through thinking about it and being all heady about it, then you will have regret 100%, right? Because your gut would have been telling you something else, right? But when it comes to understanding other people's perspectives, our instant human DNA, you know, the way that we are built as human beings, as a species, is to react. You know, and especially if you can see, because every, you know, you can see the majority of conflicts coming your way, right? And so, and you can tell, you can, it's fairly obvious when you can see that someone's going to say something that goes against your belief system or your perspectives or whatever, right? Your filters are, you know, your value filters. Instead of letting that reaction get a grip of your action, just pump the brakes and breathe for a second. I'm learning this. Yeah, you can learn it in relationships. Relationships are probably the most obvious one, right? When your significant other challenges you on something, and your first reaction is to inherently be defensive of your position. When the reality, and for those of you that aren't watching and listening, there was a big beaming smile that just came across Jackie's face when I said that, by the way. But if you can just pump the brakes on the defensive actions that you are about to take or say, and just breathe for a second and marinate on why, again, it comes back to playing in the why. If you can just ask yourself, why is this person saying this? Why is my partner saying this? Why are they reacting in the way that they are based on my actions? Right? And if you do that, if you can learn to do that, and I'm learning, right? We're all learning on that step, on that carry on. And because I'm an inherently passionate lad, right? So, you know, my passion can be a bit of a difficult one to tame from time to time. But if you can just pump the brakes and ask why, it allows you to feel like you're getting on the same page as someone that you don't have to technically agree with. You don't have to just take on their perspective and accept it as right. You still have the right and the human right to disagree with people's perspectives and whatnot. However, understanding their perspective gives you an opportunity to put yours and theirs together, and then bring about a reaction that is a lot more middle ground, or a lot, or is got a chance of becoming a lot more understood, or a lot easier understood by the other side.
And that, my friends, is how perspective gives you power. I think that's a great way to end today's podcast. I'm sure that I'm going to want to talk about this in more detail with you at a later date. Thank you so much for joining us today, Andy, and till next time.
Thank you, Andy. And can I say it's not by accident that you've had such a successful career. You've been at the right time, at the right place throughout the whole journey. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, team. I really appreciate it. And like I said, man, it's an absolute privilege to be associated and operating with you guys as closely as I am. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Eddie.
Bye.